This is the October 6th edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can follow me on Twitter if you'd like. My handle is @CommodityWeek.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let's begin, as usual, with our list of topics to discuss for the day. Bill Gentry, we'll start with you from Risk Management Commodities.
I think maybe looking at the transition from the fundamentals that we've been dealing with to date to maybe some more of a technical action that's taking place right now, and also maybe some of the yield factors. We've seen some of the soybean yield stand in, but corn seems to be highly variable or tapering off. What influence that's going to have on the next USDA supply demand report?
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
I'd like to, as Bill said, hit the expectations for the supply and demand report next week, and probably also kind of visit on some of the, there's some differences out there in the country as far as, you know, what guys are looking at basis level wise and things like that on corn, especially, you know, how do you handle the harvest that's coming in here right now.
And Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting.
I don't have a whole lot to add other than, you know, is Informa Economics and FC Stone, are they zeroed in on this crop size and acreage increases, or are they off base?
Well, let's start there. Why don't you tell me about the numbers from Informa and FC Stone and what you think of them?
Well, I guess, you know, the yield has stayed up there. They're keeping the yield fairly high, at least from what I've heard on yields, that is highly variable. There is clearly some very good yields out there, but whether or not they're strong enough to have a national average of 174 or not probably remains to be seen. The other thing is the they both decided to use larger acres based upon the FSA report, and I'm not too sure historically the FSA report numbers have had that much impact on the October crop report.
I don't recall what was their increase in acreage, and I do recall what Darrell Good has said about this, and he's not for certain that there will be much of an impact at all.
I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, but I think they're in that 500,000 to 700,000 acres range or something like that, more harvested acres of corn.
That would be large enough to make a difference. Darrell, I think, is 200,000 and under, and of the mind that the acreage number won't change that much in the month of October. I guess I'll ask both Bill Gentry and Bill Mayer, and maybe we can start with you, Bill Mayer, whether either of you think the FSA acreage will change very much in this October number that is computed using it in part for the crop production numbers.
Well, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if the harvested acre goes up some. There, as an overall statement, you know, there wasn't as much prevent plant this spring as what we've had in some of the past few years. How much of that the USDA is already taken into account is a question. Whether it's a significant number, I guess I would think it would be under 500,000 acres, which, you know, the high end of that could be significant. But with the amount of carryout and the amount of yield, the amount of production that we have, I'm not sure that's a big market mover. I guess that's kind of where I'm at. I guess I expect the acreage to go up some, but not a lot.
And Bill Gentry?
Yeah, I concur with Bill and Dan on this. I think the acreage number might be adjustable, but I'd say the big number in motion is the yield, and getting that right will probably help your marketing strategy more than the acreage.
And yet you wanted to talk about a transition, at least for this week, from the fundamentals into the marketplace to the technical action. What do you mean?
Well, I think we had a nice big up move late last week and a little bit of a follow through early this week. And we had a lot of guys calling in and say, why is corn down a dime and beans down a nickel? Why should corn be down more than beans? And if you look at the daily chart, what we really did is we spent a couple of days consolidating near the top of this week's range. And today we just kind of ran out of news and the market needed to pull back. And we went back to the 20-day moving average and kind of stopped the descent. And I think realistically, we probably saw some shorts cover. And a break like this makes them reevaluate their case. Were they supposed to get out or were they supposed to stay short? You know, from a technical perspective, I'm trying to say that we've got a respectable low of consequence in the market and trying to open up some upside to maybe some long-term moving averages up on the 200-day. You know, I don't know that we can fully make 374 basis the D's, but, you know, I think there's still some more upside, and especially with the large fund short contingent in this market, we have to be respectful of the upside.
Bill Mayer, I was thinking about asking this question anyway. Who been the players in this marketplace?
Well, I believe that the biggest factor there is the cash side of it. And I think that we haven't had maybe as strong or as heavy a cash selling as what we've seen in some past years. Harvest really has been kind of slow to get moving other than in the state of Illinois. And I think that had an effect earlier in the week. And as we moved into the, you know, first 4 days of the week here, we've seen the combines rolling a lot heavier and more cash hitting the market and more hedging because of that.
So to begin with, and I think what you're telling me, it was the absence of the cash side in this marketplace or the hedgers that really made some of that difference in your opinion as to why there was some consolidation, maybe a little rally in the marketplace waiting for the crop to come in, essentially.
Yeah, I believe that's right. And I think that we, you know, as you came in there Monday and saw only 24% of the corn harvested, I think that was a little bit of a surprise to the market as well.
Dan Zwicker, lay out the technical picture for me. You've been talking, and others, about a head and shoulders bottom in the December corn futures.
Well, there is at least potentially a head and shoulders bottom formation in the December corn contract or even the other contracts. And when we came in here Monday and we moved sharply higher, we broke above that neckline, so that began to at least open up the door or at least solidify the technical picture that maybe we do indeed have a low in this market and we're ready to have seasonal strength kind of carry us sideways to higher here through harvest. Now, we were able to maintain closes above that neckline both on Tuesday and Wednesday. But at Thursday, we pretty well fell back to that neckline, depending upon how tightly you want to kind of draw that neckline. Either we closed on it or maybe slightly below it. From a technical perspective, it's not uncommon for a market to break out of a formation for a few days and then fall back to that point of breakout. And then we'll see whether or not that breakout was valid, will be validated, or if it was just one of those fake head fakes that we get every once in a while in the market. So yeah, from a technical perspective, one would say that if you think the head and shoulder bottom is for real, this market ought to try to find some stability here Friday going into the weekend and kind of bounce off and find support at today's low point. And if we're able to probably get through next week's report without any new bearish surprises, then I think the market would probably continue to resume the trend that it's been in, which has been kind of in a sideways to higher mode. And we'll just kind of go from there. But seasonally, you can pretty well look at it, you know, 9 out of 10 years, a lot of times both corn and soybeans will put in their seasonal low between the September 30th stocks report and the October crop report. And I guess that's what I would probably be looking at, is that we're in the window here that seasonal lows ought to be kind of posted, and then we ought to see some kind of seasonal recovery as we go on in through the end of October and into November. Now, as a rule, once soybeans put in their seasonal low, they rarely look back. They have a tendency to continue to climb as you go on into January or until the South American crop becomes a major factor in the marketplace. Corn futures often will go back and maybe check out the October low or late September low during the month of December when we get into the December delivery period. So those are the seasonal tendencies. I don't know if the market kind of jumped the gun on those seasonal tendencies on Monday with that big rally. I guess probably Friday's action, how we close out the week, and what happens in next week's crop report will probably go a long ways in deciding whether or not the market was a little too quick to jump the gun on a seasonal rally or not.
Bill Mayer, harvest time is often a time when farmers are simply in the moment as it relates to marketing, and that sometimes means running a crop across the scale. However, there are some differences that you wanted to talk about in basis levels, and that may be geographic across the nation, or it may be from one month to the next. Can you point me in a direction, please?
Yeah, geographically, I think we're seeing some differences. We started to see this week, which would go along with what we were talking about earlier, starting to see some of the bases weaken in some areas this week as the harvest really started getting going. And I guess my feeling is that you probably want it this year. You know, hopefully you've gone into harvest with some forward sales that you made during the summer and have that aspect of it taken care of. But the stuff that's going to commercial storage, bushels, of course, that you really have to make a decision on now. And I think you want to, number one, decide, you know, what do I want to come out of harvest with as far as ownership? And number two, how do I want to have that ownership? And there's really several ways that a guy can do that on corn. One is a minimum price contract or selling the grain, buying calls, having a basis contract where basically you sold the cash and have the futures bought back, or the elevator owns the futures for you, depending on how you want to do it. And then number three would be storage, of course. And I guess my approach this year is to try to diversify, have some diversity in the way you come out of harvest and have somewhat equal mixture of those three items. And you need to decide when you want to do those, depending on where your base is. In this area, for example, clients I've got within 100 miles, I've got, 15 to 20 under basis levels to 35 under basis levels. And that's probably some difference in how you want to handle that. In those higher, weaker basis levels, it may mean that you may have to look at the storage a little bit stronger than what you'd like to do. That's where it's getting to, where you really have to look at it and look at the numbers and see where you think that basis will be by the first of the year. And whether, I know farmers don't like to store the crop and pay those upfront minimum charges, but sometimes if things get weak enough, it really kind of points to that.
Bill Gentry, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say that the basis has been one of our focal points all the way through this harvest. We started out with a little bit better basis than expected late in the summer. And then we were watching that to be, the throttle for how much the commercial side of the equation needs it. How's our export pace doing? How's our, our processors doing? And I think realistically, it does matter by area. I mean, there's almost like five different areas in the Corn Belt. But I think the basis is telling us that it's still standing in pretty good. The market's not being oversupplied. I've talked to farmers and they say there's not really big lines at the elevators that they're going to. So realistically, we continue to keep our finger on the pulse of the market, which is the basis. And we're cautiously optimistic that it's probably starting to turn a corner as well.
Dan Zwicker, you've been at this for a long time. You've watched bases from several different perspectives as a trader, inside and outside of the industry. How does this year stack up for you?
Well, for the most part, farmers have added an awful lot of home storage over the past several years. They had a lot of excess cash around during the double O's, and a lot of them built storage facilities probably better than their local elevator. So I do think farmers as a group probably have some staying power as far as holding their inventory. When you take a look at the export book, one would think that at some point in time in here, that strong book is going to be favorable toward basis improvement. I think, you know, this weaker basis is not uncommon during harvest. Even to this day, spot is probably the biggest seller of corn during harvest. And I think a lot of that probably is due to maybe a lot of landowners that are maybe still on a 50-50 rent lease of some kind. A lot of them just go ahead and move their grain right across the scales. I guess, you know, with the big crop, I think farmers need to probably be more focused on revenue per acre, more so than actual price or basis levels. I mean, if they're in an area that's very fortunate and have the 250 to 275 bushel corn yields, you know, maybe $3.20 or $3.10, the per acre gross is enough to pay the bills, keep the banker happy, and keep you going on. And then you could maybe replace that with a call option rather than store grain and run the risk of losing that revenue, that profit that you already have per acre in it. If you're in an area that maybe your yields just ain't good enough yet to break even, maybe you might want to run a little more risk. But my guess is we're going to get some kind of recovery rally at some point in time. It's going to come when nobody's really ready for it. Everybody will be hedged up, and the market will take off on them. But I think farmers probably need to concentrate more so on revenue per acre, probably more so than price. And then they could re-own it with call options or a mixture of stuff like Bill suggested, to kind of maybe diversify your overall sales program. Have some on, have some sold, have some maybe on a basis contract, maybe have some replaced with a call option, maybe some in-home storage. It's just a little difficult. I mean, we do have a big crop, and at some point in time, we're just going to flatten out and go sideways. And when that happens, then, you know, storage just doesn't pay.
So if I'm looking at a cash price that's 25 to 40 under on the basis at this point, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to sell this crop across the scale, do you think I can make my money back if I store it until January and it costs me 18 or 20 cents?
I would say that you probably got a good chance of making your storage back. Now, how much you make beyond that will probably depend upon, you know, weather conditions in South America.
So you're talking about a break-even prospect, sell it across the scale or just get your storage back in January.
If you're going to be strictly a cash seller. Now, if you want to kind of operate like an elevator, and you got the knowledge and the mental capacity to lay in hedges and hedge in the carry in charge, you'll probably get it to work for you, because that's how elevators do it. They put it in storage, so they're long the basis, and then they go short the futures and they wait for that basis to narrow in, and then they move that inventory on into the next step, you know, on into the end user or whoever it is. So if a farmer is able to do that, if they're one of those that have the storage, they have the experience of using a hedge, understand what they're doing with that when they're, you know, trying to earn carrying charges in the market and patiently wait for the basis to come in, I think, you know, that's a good move. If it's extremely wide in your area and you're not a hedger or anything, I suppose I would probably run the risk and at least for a while anyway here, for 30 days or 60 days to see how harvest comes along and see whether or not that basis snaps in. But I do think strong ethanol demand, strong domestic usage, the good export book, eventually you're going to see that basis come in, and it may be sooner than expected.
Hey, Bill Gentry, I was watching crude oil prices above 50 bucks today. Last winter, we were in the $28 level, and I'll just call it suppression across the commodity. So this winter looking better potentially than last winter at this point, I would think, for commodity prices.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, a lot of us refer to the crude oil as the granddaddy of commodities, and it tends to be that. Today's breakout was above some resistance levels. But I also am a little bit concerned of how sticky the market's going to be up here above 50 bucks. I think the market probably needs to tell us over the next several days on whether it wants to stay here. I know we've seen 5 weeks of draws, you know, on their inventory numbers, so there's a little bit of fundamental, but we're not going to run out of anything. And OPEC seems to be standing in there with their production levels. They talk like they're going to slow things down, but we really haven't seen the evidence of that. So I'm a little pessimistic on whether or not we're going to stay above this $50 mark. So I'm just going to be cautiously watching it and let the market tell me over the next several days. The fact that it is above $50 does lend credence to maybe the other commodities getting a little bit of a pop here. I'm certainly inviting it, but I don't assume that the crude market's going to get up and run away and give everybody the warm fuzzies. Also, the one thing you were talking about, we've been noting this in some of our stuff, but this week was the 24th consecutive week of corn export inspections above 1 million metric tons, which does open the door that maybe the USDA has underestimated exports to date, and that might be a number that's in motion next week and may give us some encouragement.
I was going to ask Bill Mayer if there were other places that you want to talk about, whether that's the export market for corn, feed usage, the hog numbers.
I was going to say the exports. I would agree with these two guys as far as the exports. I think will be strong. I think the key there, we saw this morning the Brazilian expectations as far as production, and they're expecting to be way up. But how soon the problem that you got in Brazil, I think, is that early first crop corn is going to be grabbed up pretty quick. And I think the key for the U.S. is how long we can maintain these strong exports once Brazil, how soon will Brazil come in and start really competing us against us next spring? And I guess I think that the trade tends to always overestimate that they're going to come in sooner. So I think we can end up maybe having some higher exports than what USDA is projecting.
And Bill, we probably ought to also look forward to next week's crop production and supply and demand figures from the USDA. Which of the two are you more worried about? And where do you think changes will come?
Well, I think that as we discussed earlier on the corn, I guess I'd expect we'll probably see yields maybe drop a little bit on corn and acreage maybe increase a little bit. So I expect the corn production number to stay fairly steady. I think we'll see a little bit of an increase perhaps in the demand side. So carry out maybe coming down slightly from where it was, but not probably enough bushels to really make a lot of difference. I think the trade is expecting the soybeans yields to go up. I guess I have a feeling that maybe they're expecting a little bit higher yields than maybe what we'll see on this October report. We don't have a lot of actual yields in the books here yet. So I would look for carry out to come down a little bit on the corn, up a little bit on the soybeans, but pretty much be within expectations would be my thoughts right now.
Now, time for a final word from each of you. We'll start with Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas.
Well, I would just say that, you know, this is a time of year where everything is generally bearish. Once we get past this first half of October, things start improving a little bit. And I do think that demand's going to be a pretty good factor in here, is stirring up some kind of rally here after we confirm harvest lows.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Just a note that the October averaging price for the crop insurance started this week. As of today, we're $3.46 average on the corn, $9.63 on the beans. Of course, the beans are higher than the spring price. The corn is down about 10%. So, if you know, you can have a lower or higher than your guaranteed yield on a revenue type product, and still potentially have a claim. So keep that in mind. Also keep in mind that, you know, once that October price is figured, then your downside risk protection is pretty much done at that point after October.
Let me follow up on that note with the 2015 Arkin PLC payments. Earlier this week, USDA announced those payments and what they would look like in each county across the United States. You'll find maps on the willag.org website. Now, let's get our final word from Bill Gentry at Risk Management Commodities.
Yeah, Todd, I think that the bottom line here is, looking at the technicals, the soybean market looks like it's in a basing pattern, and we've got pretty good demand there. I think the corn market's kind of done a little breakout to the upside. As long as we don't beat it up too bad between now and the USDA supply demand report, I think that's got a little bit of upward draft. And we think that the USDA is probably in line to reduce the corn yield just a little bit over time. It may not happen next week, but the fact that they did not go higher last month told us that big crops don't always get bigger. And I think that's a little bit of a positive spin to give, encourage us a little bit.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. Our thanks to our panelists this week: Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana; Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, Illinois; and Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. You can always hear the whole of our program online, again, at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.